This is Dan the Dad, and you're listening to the Blues Hockey Podcast. And if you change the channel, you're grounded.
Hey everyone, before we get into this week's show, let's take a second to talk about our sponsors. First, we have Rockstar Tacos at the Gaslight Lounge, located at 4916 Shaw Avenue next to the Botanical Gardens. They'll open Tuesday through Saturday, starting at 5 p.m. They have weekly specials. Check out their Facebook, Instagram for pictures of all the food specials, along with Instagram as well. Some of the best food that you'll probably have. Chris and I both love the burrito tacos, along with the Poutina Turner appetizer. Go ahead and check them out to see what's going on with them, including their monthly music trivia on Facebook and Instagram. Next, we have Lucky Lola's Foods. Chris and I both love all their items, but especially Chris loves the salmon robe. They have their jalapeno sweet heat, along with some brats and meat sticks. You can find any of those items not only at Fresh Time and Kenrick's, and some of the Schnucks markets are starting to carry them as well. They're great items for barbecues or any occasion you may have. Veteran-owned, so make sure you check them out. Another great local company sponsoring our show. Last but not least, we have Altered State Comics, located at 671 Big Bend Road, opened Tuesday through Sunday. You can get comics, Funkos, figures, and much more at their show, at their place. You can check out alterstatecomics.com. We'll have all the info on where to, what they have, what's going on with them, but you can also start a pull list with them and get all your comics like I do every week. So thanks for listening to our show. If you need to get a hold of us, you can get a hold of us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Look up Blues Hockey Podcast, and you'll have all this information for not only on our show, but all our great sponsors. Enjoy this week's show. Welcome back to the Blues Hockey Podcast. Your host is Jason. And for the first time, we're going to start our new prospect report, or whatever you want to call it, our monthly report, with our friend Mike Meyer of the Hockey Writers. So, Mike, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate this.
Yeah. So we're going to do this as Chris and I are less I can tell you stuff about Snuggerud, Dvorsky, and that's about it. Maybe a little bit about a couple of the first rounders, but Mike is really good at all this, and I really enjoy his work. So Mike's agreed to come on monthly and to give all our fans kind of a lowdown on Blues prospects, because the Blues are really focusing on the future now, so which is good. So it's fun stuff to talk about when there's exciting stuff in the pipeline. So this month is pretty exciting because the Blues had the record 7 prospects at the World Juniors. So was going to be 6 and last minute 7. So we can talk about that. Yep. But first, let's just talk about those. So the Blues had 7 prospects. I'll let Mike kind of explain. So 7, the big ones I kind of talked about already. So obviously Snuggerud for USA. Dvorsky was, help me out with that one, Slovakia.
He was with Slovakia. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And then you can tell me about the rest of the ones that made their respective teams.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had Otto Stenberg and Theo Lindstein here for Team Sweden. If you paid attention here to the finals, you saw all three of the two of Stenberg and Lindstein play up against Jimmy Snuggerud here for the gold medal game. Again, you had Dvorsky, Yuri Prokarczyk. He was also here with Dvorsky, and they played and they achieved the bronze medal here, which is really awesome to be able to see, you know, four of the prospects here actually medal. 4 of the 7. So that was really nice. Alex Kotari Kaskamäki here with Team Finland, and Jakob Stanzel here with Czechia. So we had a really, really good showing here at the World Juniors.
Yeah. So it was nice to see right after Christmas, you had a lot of the games coming on. So almost every game that was pretty much had some kind of Blues influence, because we were very well spread out. Outside of Sweden, I mean, that's, you know, most of these guys were kind of well spread out for Snuggerud, obviously USA, nothing on Team Canada, which is usually odd for the Blues. Usually we have a couple of Canadians and nothing this time. So you kind of see the shift now, obviously with Alexander Steen's fingerprint on the last draft. So that's real interesting. So Blues at seven, and you kind of alluded to the finals, but leading up to the finals, I don't know, did you have the stats? The Blues had probably the most successful seven group of prospects out of
Yes.
anybody in NHL. Let's talk about that, how successful this group was. Every single one had a goal.
Yes.
So
Yeah,
that's one thing.
I believe that there was a combined like 40 some odd points here. I don't have like the exact stat total, but I mean it blew every other prospect pool like out of the water. You know, if you're paying attention here early on, the game that Jimmy Snuggerud would score his hat trick in the first period. The next game here was following that was Sweden, and then Otto Stenberg scored his hat trick as well. So it was grateful to see six goals, you know, from Blues prospects. And there was an interview here actually like with Tim Taylor after or like near the end of the tournament, and he said, "Is there a game that's not going to be influenced by your prospects? Like this is getting unbelievable to see just the fingerprints and the effect that the Blues prospects are having on this tournament, you know, and there a bunch of them were saying like it's not fair." You know, for Blues fans, you know, that's great to see because you don't ever, you may have two, three prospects that are shown up here to this tournament, let alone seven.
Yeah, and you're hoping out of the seven, you're hoping, hey, 50% hit out of seven. That's pretty good for the Blues. I mean, if you're getting
Right.
seven guys or I mean four, let's say three to let's say four guys are going to hit and be NHLers. That's darn good for the Blues prospects for the next couple of years, especially if they're hopefully a couple high-end ones. So obviously we'll talk about the big ones at the end here, but let's talk about, I believe it was Jacob, help me out with the last name.
With Stancil?
Stancil, yes. He was the one, he actually, his goal was a big one.
Yes. Yeah. He had a really, really good tournament. I mean, this is first of all a very big boy. 6'3", 198 pounds. He's a big boy. And me personally here, like before he even headed into the tournament, like I really felt for him because this was a year that he actually lost his father in a car accident. You know, his mom and his dad actually came to see a game. They left. They got into a car accident. Mom fortunately did survive. Dad did not. And so to see the season here like that he has had going into the tournament, it's been up and down here for him, which, you know, completely understandably so. But then that he goes into this, you know, under 20 tournaments, played seven games, four goals, two assists. This is a really, really good showing here for him. I really, really liked what he's doing. I believe he had a game-winning goal, and then he had one here. Boy, you have to forgive me here. He had the game-winning goal, and then he had the game-opening goal here, I believe, to be able to help push his team to be able to ultimately like win their game here, respectively.
So yeah, it was like surprising. That was a name like you didn't hear much of. So most of the picks, I believe, if I went through the list, I had no, none of the picks were lower than third rounders, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so basically it was either, I don't think there's any second, I think it was either your first or third round pick, I think is kind of how it weirdly worked out for the Blues prospects at this tournament. So it
Yeah.
was interesting to see that when you hit on the later rounds, that's usually when things are going to look good for you in the future. Like for example, like the Colton Parayko's down the line, you hit on him. You're hoping you hit on the first rounders, that's the best chance. But if you're getting guys in the third, fourth, fifth round that you're hitting and getting producing NHLers, it's definitely a good thing. Before we talk about the gold medal game, let's talk about, is there any other prospects that you thought had a really good tournament outside of, let's say the big three or four? Let's talk about not the Lindsteins, the Stenbergs. Obviously, Stungerud had a really good one. Dvorsky started off slow, picked it up as the games went along. So, and it was funny. I think early in the tournament, I want to say maybe two or three games in, if you looked at the leaderboard, every single stat was a Blues prospect. Whoever was leading in goals, who was leading in points, Dvorsky was. Had some kind of obscene face-off percentage, almost like around the 80% mark, which is, I think, when Ryan O'Reilly was at his peak for the Blues, I think it was at 56%, 57%, and that's considered
Something,
very good. So you're talking 80% is ridiculous. So it's nice to see all those. Which Blues prospect helped me with this that scored the goal that eliminated Canada from the quarterfinals?
That one here, Oh boy, now I'm trying to remember which game that they were playing here. Let me take a look here. Do you remember if it was Finland that played that
I think
game?
it was, I will say Finland. Yeah, Finland was the one who went on to the next one.
If
So,
that was the case, that was Kaskimaki.
yeah.
He is really showing up well here in not just like this tournament, but I've got a couple of stocks here of him in fantasy here right now, but I'm really, really impressed with what I'm seeing here from this kid. Big dude reminds me actually a lot of Jake Nabers on the
Okay.
ice. And I say that because he's gifted with a really, really good shot, but you will find him so much in front of the ice, or I'm sorry, in front of the net, going hard here on every single play, going into the boards, ready for the rebounds, the deflection shots here, like right in the middle. He's only 19. And when this dude is just that hard nosed just all the time, right now he's playing in Finland here, like up against men. He's all the way at the tip top level here in Liga, constantly playing up against men, you know. And so when you have a kid that's 19 being trusted to be able to play most of the time here, top 6 minutes, be able to get, I believe he's on power play two here right now, for his team, that he's trusted at that age to be able to play. And then he came into the tournament, I believe, on a 5 or 6 game point streak. And boy, he looked really, really good here throughout this entire tournament. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's going to be able to be an NHL player one day. It's just going to be where he's going to end up topping out at. And I think you're going to see a Jake Nabers-esque player where he could potentially play on the top line as a really good complementary player, but finally settle in like long-term career, probably like in the middle six, you know, just bouncing up and down here between like second and third line as a really good line driver.
That'd be great. Yeah, for the Blues, definitely like that type of player for sure. So Jake Nabers
Yes.
has been showing up this year, definitely. So that's good news for Blues fans. So we'll get into the gold medal game, and I say the big prospects now. So obviously Dvorsky didn't make it to there. He wound up getting the bronze medal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really good article in The Athletic. If anybody's at The Athletic about him, I believe Scott Wheeler did that one. It was really good about just Dvorsky and how he's playing and how people see him as a prospect. So that's a good thing. So the big one is Jimmy Snuggerud, and that's pretty much getting all the props between Blues fans and the media and everything. So Snuggerud has the big shot
Yes.
from the he has I say the Ovechkin spot. That's kind of his favorite spot on the power play, and that's just how the shot looks. It looks he just they feed him the puck and he does it. So before we talk about him, I just want to hit on a guy who almost didn't even make his team for the tournament, and then he winds up making the all-tournament team as voted by coaches and the media, which is amazing to see. So Theo Lindstein was a guy brought in on injury. He was basically an injury replacement at the last second, and wound up, I believe, he led Sweden
He
in
led
points.
all de he led all defensemen in points the entire tournament,
He
which
really
is
showed up,
incredible to
and
see.
yeah. So let's tell us a little more about Lindstein, because he was the guy that was picked last in the third round, kind of I say the forgotten first rounder almost of all the guys in last year. So obviously Dvorsky was the big one. Stenberg kind of got the props as the second one, and then Lindstein was kind of the guy. Like everybody was kind of confused by that pick because there's a lot of other defensemen that were kind of available that they passed on. And then they took Lindstein after all that, and he was expected to be maybe a second rounder. So tell me a little bit about Theo Lindstein.
He and like you said, not just, he comes in injury replacement or not, and is named one of the top defensemen here, like in the entire tournament. It was a huge, huge feat in and of itself. Lindstein is he's not going to be your prototypical top pairing defenseman, so to be able to get a first round draft pick out of him, a first round draft pick status here out of him, it may or may not come out as like a fair value. Again, if you were to say, hey, this guy's going to be like a second round value type, I think it's a bit more easier to be able to swallow here for him. But this is a guy who really amped his play up a lot, especially with the faster pace here at the World Juniors. He's been playing well, just kind of bouncing up and down here, like in the Swedish leagues, whether or not that's going to be for the top league or the middle or like the AHL affiliate, here for them. Over in the Euro leagues, you can be able to just move all the way up and down from the tip top league down to the AHL-esque type league, and even the juniors. These guys can just call them up and down willy-nilly. And so he's been mostly sticking in around like the, again, like I'll refer to it like as the AHL. So he's been sticking around that league for the most part here right now. And he's a really good, just stay at home defenseman, mind his own business, that if you don't hear his name a lot, it's because he's played a really good game. Like, you don't need to hear this guy's name a lot, but he's also a guy who will drive the play. He's got really, really good vision, just constantly ready to be able to receive the puck. And when he's ready to receive the puck, if you watch him really closely, I had to go through like and almost slow it down a little bit. As he's receiving the puck, he's already got his head up looking to evaluate the next play. Who else is ready for that next pass? And he's already thinking the play like 1 to 2 steps ahead. And so that's where, if you look at his play right now and his points that he's receiving right now in Europe, that may be one of the reasons why is that he's just not connected just yet over there. But this is a guy who I think will be able to play. And the comparison here still goes like a Carl Gunnarsson. I think it's a really good comparison, but there was another one here and I'm blanking here on him now. Jonas Brodin.
Okay.
And I think
that'd be a good job.
Yes. Very good. Top four defenseman, you know, be able to log a lot of minutes, ton of minutes. So I think that's a guy that you're going to be able to get here for him, but he's also going to be, I think, like a Carl Gunnarsson 2.0, where he may throw a bit more offensive ability and a little bit more of like the offensive pressure than like what Gunnarsson did.
Nice. That'd be good. Good pick by the Blues then. So obviously the Blues go next to the stick of Sweden is Otto Stenberg. Had a really good tournament as well. Different type of player. I would say if I had this, what he's closer to as a Dvorsky-esque type, a little less on the offense, a little more, but he's more working the two-way game. So give me more, a little more Otto Stenberg before we get to Jimmy Snuggerud.
I'll say this, and I don't want to be able to get Blues fans too hyped up, but think a new version of Alexander Steen. I think that's the player that you get in Otto Stenberg, a guy who can be able to play, like you said, a good, strong two-way game, but a guy who has a very good hard nose, knack for getting in front of the net. Great, great shot here on him. He was consistently playing on the third line here for Sweden this season. Last year at the U18s, he was actually the captain here of their team, and he led their team in scoring, I believe. And so now to be able to come into the U20 tournament, it was not surprising at all to see the performance here that he had. He had 5 goals, 4 assists, and then, of course, captured the silver medal here in 7 games. So I think that this is a guy who can be able to play a very, very good complementary role, not just for Sweden, not just internationally, but this is a guy who I think is going to play a very good complementary role and pot a lot of goals here as a Blue here moving forward.
Yeah, so looking good for the Blues, finding all those kind of pieces that make a complete team. So you gotta get the Lindstein come in there, give you a lot of minutes, maybe give you a couple more points in there. Stenberg right. Playing a two-way game. Obviously Dvorsky, you're hoping kind of comes to top end. I'm hoping Alexander Barkov type of player is what you know the best hope for there by comparisons. And then now a guy that was kind of picked later and wasn't really thought a high of pick, and now the last 18 months is blown up basically. Jimmy Snuggerud, or if we affectionately call him Snuggernuts on our show. almost, I would say, now the face of Team USA going into this tournament. There's a lot of some decent players on USA by any means, but I think Snuggerud is a returning player.
Yep.
Really turned it on in the last couple of weeks leading up to the tournaments. Let's talk about, and then obviously, well, after a tournament, had a really good week. Scored 5 goals this week.
In
so,
2 games. Yep.
Yeah, so had a hat trick. His first home game back against Colorado College. That was really good. But talk about Jimmy Snuggerud and what he brings to the table, what Blues fans can expect to see from him and how his tournament was.
I think Blues fans are going to see a really good top six forward, a guy who can be able to play up on the top line here if needed, but may just settle into a very good second line player. You know, he started off the tournament here as the top line right winger, performed very, very well here. Again, he scored a hat trick here in the first period, built to help really propel his team here to here for that win. The unfortunate part here is that there was a small flu bug that was going around Team USA. It first hit Trey Augustine, their goaltender. He was out, I believe, for one game. Jimmy missed one game here as well. And then he was consistently being placed on the fourth line here afterwards. So I don't know how much the flu bug fully affected him, but as each game went on, the head coach kept pushing up, the minutes and be able to kept, giving him some additional deployments and power play time, which really, really helped. But, again, 5 goals, 3 assists. I mean, this is a guy who was well on his way to be a tournament MVP just to be able to get hit by illness, which was really, really unfortunate. But hey, if 5 goals and 3 assists in 6 games is going to be his flu tournament, I will take that any day of the week. So I don't know what the future is going to lay here for him. Armstrong came out just not too long here, like after the tournament, and said that he's going to give every single opportunity to be able to sign Jimmy Snuggerud, as well as be able to give him opportunity here with the Blues here, hopefully, and not necessarily just sign him and then, deploy him down in the AHL. It may not be a bad idea to be able to deploy him in the AHL, but shoot, let the kid build, just let him rip. Let's see what he's got here in the NHL. Give him, however many weeks here that he's going to end up needing, roughly in around that April timeframe, and see what he's got. Give him second, third line deployment and just kind of go from there. But I think the Blues have really found something. Again, I wouldn't expect him to be a 40, 50 goal scorer here by any stretch of the imagination. But again, I think if you set the expectations as a very good second line forward, or even a very good complementary first liner, I think you got the nail right on the head.
That's awesome. So yeah, Blues can find something like that. And like you said, there's a Armstrong talked about him possibly being on the team. And if he gets on the team, the Blues also make the conscious decision to burn a year of his entry level deal because he is 20 years old, so he can't do the little 9-game trials. If you remember, like Alex Pietrangelo did that for a year, maybe 2 years, if I remember correctly.
I believe it was a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, so he was able to. So the Blues is essentially, I don't know if they can do an amateur tryout for the AHL, but I think if they really want to, and I think if kind of if you see what happened this week with the whole Cutter Gunther
Oh,
saga
man.
up in Philly, you might not want to mess around when it comes to signing guys and with the bonus overages and other stuff. But depending on how the Blues season goes, if they're in a playoff hunt, I could see them holding off just because depending on how things are, or they could maybe want him to taste that. I mean, to see like, hey, we want you would come in here and see how a playoff push is and want you to be able to be part of a team during that time. So it could go any way. So I'd be kind of curious to see if you had to take a guess right now after, let's say Minnesota, let's say they go hopefully all the way and win it all this year. Do you think he turns around and signs with the Blues this season?
I think he's ready to be able to play in the NHL. I think that they would be more than happy to be able to sign him. I love the fact that, right now he has not had the consistent. I mean, he had Logan Cooley here up on his top line. He had two potential future all-stars here on his team last season. And now where it's a lot more of, freshmen, sophomores that are filled here on his team, he's hit some diversity. He's had to be able to figure out what that's like, be able to help lead the team and be able to potentially play a little more of like a two-way style game. And that's really helped his development here overall, I think, here throughout this season. And it's going to help him really, really well throughout the rest of, for the rest of his career. And so if I had to be able to take a single guess as far as, the deployment, it's I think he's going to get signed. I think they will assign him to the NHL and just let the kid play.
Yep, that'd be good. So we got Snuggerud, who hopefully will be there this year. If you had to pick of the, let's say, 6 guys that are left on the World Junior roster, the Blues roster, you want to say, who is the best chance of us, us seeing with the big club next outside of Snuggerud? Who would be your next guest to see?
I think it's gonna, I mean, I think almost the obvious one is gonna be Dvorsky. He's another guy who I could see coming in. I mean, you could very well see a third line that has Dvorsky and Snuggerud next season.
Yeah, especially with the Blues have a couple of UFAs that they kind of had a lot of guys signed, and you don't know if you'll be able to move them. So that'd be the best way to supplement that is have cheap cheap labor that hopefully will work out. And by the time those deals are up, hopefully the entry level deals are up for the guys that are doing, they're doing well, and you sign them to bigger deals. So that's just kind of how the cap system works.
That's
So
exactly it.
hopefully that works out for the Blues. Yeah, the Blues had a tremendous World Juniors, and it's always fun or after Christmas to watch the World Juniors and have a vested interest as a Blues fan. So you're waiting to see the next big guy. Because in the last, overall, that's, last couple of years, maybe a guy or two here or there, you're kind of excited for. And there's maybe a couple of lower end guys that maybe are on one of the teams that you may or may not see over here. But you wind up having a lot of guys this year and who all played well. There wasn't really a guy that didn't have a maybe a tremendous tournament. Everybody had at least a pretty good tournament. That's what I think is the positive out of the Blues. And you said the total amount of points is 44 points between the seven guys for the whole tournament. And like we said, every guy scored a goal. Buffalo's the next closest, and they had 30, but they also had one goalie. So I guess you can kind of balance that out, but that's still about 12 point difference. So that's still pretty good for the Blues. I don't care how you look at it. So Buffalo is one of those teams that's always ranked in the top five for prospects when you do the prospect ranking. So it's good to see the Blues up there. So
And I'll say,
before, go ahead.
again, the Blues had a guy with the flu. Buffalo's got a guy here, a goalie. So that, I don't know, they kind of wash here a
Yeah,
little
so
bit.
so it's a little, and so and yet our guy at the flu still had a pretty decent tournament overall and won gold. So it worked out. Before we let you out of here, we'll let everybody know where they can find all your work and find you online.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm over here at the Hockey Writers. Great group of guys that that we're doing all the coverage here that we can. Some new guys here that are on board with our team, and they are hungry. They're pumping out articles here like left and right. But you'll be able to find me posting up a ton of stuff here about the Blues prospects, whether they're full length articles here over at the Hockey Writers, or if you me just pumping out video content here online. You'll be able to find me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it here. At M_Meyer3.
Yeah, so make sure you check out. It's all tremendous stuff. A lot of the guys over at Hockey Writers are doing some good stuff. I always enjoy reading it because not too much. I'll be honest, not too much print stuff for the Blues outside of, like I say, Rutherford and stuff. So it's nice to see fans kind of filling in the gap and doing quality work on top of that. So appreciate all you guys doing that. So Mike will be with us. We're gonna do like once a month, beginning of the month, every month, pretty much for a while here, while the Blues are playing. And definitely around draft time we'll have Mike on to do some draft stuff. And I don't know how the draft's going to shake out for the Blues this year, because it seems like one week I think they're going to be tanking and we're getting a top 10 pick, and the other week, well, we may be squeaking into the playoffs. So the Blues keep up this back and forth stuff, who knows? But I do think that the Blues will keep their first round pick. I'd be shocked if they don't. So that'll be something we'll talk to Mike about and see who the Blues go after. So like I said, Mike will be joining us for at least once a month from here on out. Thanks for coming on, Mike, and thanks for joining the Blues Hockey Podcast and contributing. So we really appreciate all your work. And until next time.
Sounds great. Appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.